following Jesus? Thank you, Sister Ruth. I tell you what, I always like the way she sings. When I first got saved, we were in a church that the young lady that she'd been singing in church when she was just old enough to play on the piano, couldn't read a lick of music, but she knew all them songs. She had heard them for so long. She played by ear. She could just sit there. You'd start talking about the song, she'd start playing the song, you know. And Sister Ruth reminds me of her in a lot of ways like that. But following Jesus, listen, that's the most important path that you'll ever be on. You know, who or what you love is who you will commit your life to. You think about that, husbands. Think about that, wives. You think, who or what you love is what you commit your life to. It's the same thing for following Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you what, following in the steps of Jesus is not something that's going to be easy. I'm going to tell you that. Because there are going to be times that he's going to ask you to do what you really don't want to do. He's going to ask you to do things that are totally uncomfortable, totally out of your what you think your character is. But you see, it's not about our character, it's about his character. It's about his life. It's about his will, not ours, in any way, shape, or form. You know, he is here to help us if we will allow him. And if you follow so close to him, or like the book of Psalms says, you stay under the shadow of his wing. He is right there for you in every situation. No matter what comes your way, he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And if we're not following in the footsteps of Jesus, then what are we doing? Are we playing? Are we, like old Paul said, are we imitators? Are we actors? Are we looking for a feel-good experience? Or are we truly gone to work for him? Do we show him every day to everyone that we meet, to the point where they don't see us, but they only see him? You see, I can't answer any of those questions for you. You got to answer that for yourself. I can only answer for me. And one day, we're going to stand before him, and there's going to be some questions to be answered. I don't know about y'all, but I want to try to answer them all now so there ain't no question then. Think about it. Don't do things that are questionable in your life that you know that are not in line with the footsteps of Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you what, it'll come back and haunt you. It will. If I read my word right, it's definitely going to come back and haunt you. You see, to really know him and to follow him, you got to love him. You see, he already loved us. He's already done his part. He's already done his part. It's up to us. Let me ask you another question. If you love him, has your hunger grown since you have come to know him? You know, sometimes we are so comfortable in the things that we eat that we forget about everything else, whether it's good for us or not. In fact, most of the things that we like are not good for us. You think about it. You know, if it tastes bad and it's good for you, you're going to go for the stuff that tastes good, whether it's good for you or not. I say amen to that. I love ice cream, but I'm going to tell you what, it don't light me. There's a lot of things that I love, would love to eat, but I don't eat of those things because my body can't stand it anymore. And I don't like to be ill. I don't like to feel bad. How about y'all? Y'all like to feel good? I love feeling good, and I feel much better when I leave those things alone that I know that are not good for me, even though I like them. Well, can I tell you that the Word of God is always good for you? The Bible says that we should taste and see that it is good. And if you will taste and see that it is good, then you will follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Regardless of what it is. Might be castor oil sometimes. Might be Brussels sprouts, you know. It might be, although I love Brussels sprouts, I can't hardly name anything that I don't like to eat. I just can't eat all of it. But you see, sometimes the bitter things of this life is following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. The bitter things, the things that are not pleasant. They're not pleasant to our eye. They're not pleasant to our spirit. They're not pleasant to our taste. But they are actually what we need. So see, the more you know him, the more you're going to love him. You see, if you love him beyond anything in this life, you're on the right track. You're on the path. You're in the footsteps. If you love him beyond everything, said if you love mother, father, sister, brother, anything more than me, then you have no part of me. That's pretty hard, isn't it? Because we like to think we love our husband and we love our wives, we love our children, we love our family, we love. But if you love them more than him, he says you have no part of him. I don't know about y'all, but there's a lot of things in the Word of God I don't know, but the things I do know sometimes scare me to death, okay? I just tell you right now, because I'm far from a theologian. You can tell sometimes about it when I preach. You know, it says, God says, from the foolishness to preaching, sometimes men's souls are saved. Well, I've heard myself preach some awful foolish things. So, you know, but if it touches a heart, if it plants a seed, if it waters a crop, I don't care what it sounds like, as long as it's from his word. As long as my heart is right. How about you? If your heart is right with God, you're going to be following in the footsteps of Jesus. You see, if you really love him, you're going to really serve him. I'm going to tell you what, church, y'all have some awesome opportunities right here in this church, not even outside these walls, right here inside this church, to serve him. John has gotten up here and talked about Awanas. You know, if it's all possible, children are the most important thing that you will need to pour into because they are the church of tomorrow. I don't know about y'all, but I'm on my way out. I'm doing everything I can to tell everybody the little bit that I do know so that they can try to benefit from that so they can grow in themselves and grow in the things of God and grow in the things of in the love of Jesus. So that they will have a chance to pass it on. You know, we are big, and my youngest son Terry and his lovely wife Pam, they're here with us today. And they know this is true. We work inside our families. We do everything inside our families. We build houses. We talk about the things of life. We cry when things need to be cried over. We rejoice when things need to be rejoiced over. We're always looking ahead for our children or our grandchildren or our great-grandchildren. We're looking ahead for them because we love them. Because we want to serve them. Because we want to be a part of their lives. Can I tell you that that's exactly what Jesus is looking for you to do in his church? You see, if you know him, you're going to love him. And if you really love him, you're going to serve him. You're going to serve him. If you really know him, love him, serve him, can I tell you that at some point, you're going to suffer for him. You can read it in the book. He didn't call us to a life of ease. He didn't call us to a life where everything was just warm and fuzzy all the time. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you present yourself like Jesus presented himself, there's going to be plenty of folks out there ain't going to like it. They're going to persecute you. One old preacher told me one time, said, if they ain't persecuting you, son, you must not be following him close enough. How about it? Anybody in here fit that description? Because I tell you what, I have been there. I've been there. Maybe not lukewarm, but pretty close. Everything was just wonderful. Everything was hunky-dory. Everything just kind of floating along. Life is easy. But that's not what he called us to, people. He called us to stretch ourselves. He called us to reach out. He called us to go into those places and teach where the unteachable are. Love where the unlovable are. What are we doing? Are we doing that? That's what Jesus did. Jesus went amongst the hierarchy of the established church of that day, or the established religion. I won't call it a church. And he upset them because he was inviting sinners in. He was going into the homes of the unclean. And this is a Jew boy doing this, okay? He knew better according to their law, but not according to the love of God. See, if you love him, you're going to serve him. And if you serve him close, you're going to suffer for it. They suffered in all kinds of ways. All of the Jewish people that became what we know today as a Messianic Jew, because they became believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they already had a love for God. Even old Paul, who was Saul, he had a love for God. He knew the Pentateuch. He knew the laws of God. But you know, we preached that last Sunday. You know, one day the presence of God came in that strong light and knocked him to the ground. You know, Paul had to start thinking about what on earth am I doing? For 3 days he fasted and prayed. He was without sight. Y'all know the story. Ananias came and at first he was real apprehensive about coming and talking to Saul. But after talking with the Lord, he went and did what God asked him to do, even though it was uncomfortable, even though he thought it could cost him his life. Do we do that? Where have we stepped out of our comfort zone to do the things of God, to do the calling of God? Where have we stepped out? I don't know about y'all, but I don't like to hurt, even though I do every day, you know. But most of it's I caused it. You know, I've stretched it, pulled it, broke it, overworked it, taxed it to its very end. I'm talking about a physical body. But let me ask you something. Have you hurt in your spirit for those who do not know him? You think about this. Jesus Christ still today is our intercessor. He is still our advocate before the Father. He is still pleading the case of millions of those around the world who do not believe on him. Think of the agony that he went through here on the face of this earth just for us, for that moment in time when he died upon that cross, when he suffered the beatings, when he suffered the whip, when he suffered the nails, and he suffered the fact that he bled to death hanging there on a tree. Have we come to that point in our suffering for others? If you know him, you're going to love him. And if you love him, you're going to serve him. And if you serve him, really serve him, you're going to suffer. Now, I'm not saying you suffer to the point of blood. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you suffer to the point of losing everything that you have. I'm not saying that either. What I am saying is, if we're not pushing it to the point where there's not some suffering that comes our way, what are we doing? See, you have a chance to serve him here, whether it's Awanas, whether it's children, no matter what it is, Sunday school, cut the grass, clean the building, change the light bulbs. I've told y'all my testimony before. Man, when I got saved, it opened up a whole brand new world for me. I couldn't wait to get down to that church house. Whatever needed to be done, I wanted to do it. You ask my wife, I only worked about 6 months out of the year. The rest of the time I was down at church. See, God took care of me, even in my contracting, even in my jobs that came my way. You can ask my little son over here. We never missed a meal or a bill. We always had what was necessary in life. No, we never had no real big abundance of stuff, but we didn't go lacking. But we got out there and we went to work. I used to grab him and his little brother and run down to church house with 3 push lawnmowers and cut an acre of grass. You know why? Because it needed to be done. That's why, and no one else was doing it. That's not, they don't pat me on the back. I was happy to do it. It was great for me. I don't know about y'all, but I loved it. I loved it. I don't know if I could cut an acre of grass with a push lawnmower today. I'd probably die out there on the ground. Heat stroke or something. I don't know. You know, the Lord always takes care of you when you're working for him, okay? And if I stand behind this pulpit and I draw my last breath, so be it. If I'm out there pushing and cutting grass, or I'm in the middle of a hay field, or I'm in a cow lot, or if I'm preaching a funeral, or whatever that I happen to be doing. By the way, right before service start, I got a call for a service tomorrow. Sometimes they only give me 2 or 3 hours notice. At least this was 24 hours notice. See, you never know what the life's twists and turns will bring that leads you in the direction. But if you're not following after him, you're on the wrong path. He will lead you, guide you, and direct you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He, not you. If you're following you're following the wrong person. I told y'all before, you know, I've always heard it said, well, follow your heart on all your decisions. Follow your heart. I say, no, man, your heart's wicked and deceitful. Follow Jesus. Him alone. I talked to you all about the book that old Robert Sheldon wrote back in the late 1800s, you know. What would Jesus do? Actually, it's called In His Steps. But that's what the theme of those sermons was. What would Jesus do? You see, if you earnestly seek him, he will show you what to do. If you earnestly follow in his footsteps, he will show you what you need to go, where you need to go, what you need to say. He said, he told the apostles, the disciples, he said, don't worry about what you're going to say when you come up against those who are against you, because I'll put the words in your mouth. But I can tell you that you cannot give away something out of your mouth that you haven't hidden in your heart. Because the Word of God teaches us this. He says, what you have hidden in your heart will come out of your mouth. See, if you don't know what this word says, if you hadn't sought his face, if you haven't instilled him within you to the degree that nothing else matters, and we preached that last Sunday, nothing else matters but him and him crucified. Nothing. Nothing. So do you know him? Do you know him? That one song we sang, Footsteps of Jesus, you know, I never heard that song before. I never heard it. I ain't been around very long. Okay? I've been around on the earth about 75 years, but I ain't been in the church that long. Only about half my life. See? So I never heard that, but I'm going to tell you what is right along with my thinking this morning, following in the footsteps of Jesus. Do we really understand what that complicates our lives with? All you got to do is read about where Jesus went. You'll see how complicated that some of that stuff can be. You'll see how harsh that the world is toward those who truly believe. It said those who truly believe will worship him in spirit and in truth. Are you? Do you worship him in spirit? Sometimes his presence comes to you so strong that there's nothing else matters around you. If you know him, you're going to love him. If you love him, you're going to serve him. If you serve him, you just might suffer. Philippians 3:10, old Paul says, that I may know him. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. Not just know who he is, because there's a whole bunch of folks just know who he is. That's why when I'm interviewing people that are left behind for a funeral service, I don't ask them if they're believers in God, because everybody believes in God. Demons and devils in hell believe in God. They actually know who he is. They just don't serve him. They don't follow him. But Paul said, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection. Can I tell you that if you know the power of his resurrection, you have a new life. You have a new life. Not the old life, not the life of selfishness, not the life of lewd and crude and things that are wrong, but a new life of holiness, righteousness, love, peace, joy, goodness, long-suffering. Read the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. Read that and see where we should be when we're truly following after him. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection. Listen, power of resurrection means that something was dead and now it is alive. That's what resurrection is. Something that was dead and now it is alive. You see, we were once dead in our sins, but now we're supposed to be alive in him. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever just asked the Lord about that? What is that, God? What is that being alive in you? Being alive in him means you're dead to this world. Being alive in him means you're dead to the sin in this world. Being alive in him means that you live only for him because he is everything to you. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection. We rising above. We rise, when we have that born again experience, truly a born again experience, truly our lives are changed. There is something that happens within us that you can't see. But it's manifest in what you do. There is a faith that comes. There is a newness of life that is birthed inside you. You no longer want to do what you used to do. I preached a message on that one time. It ain't what I can't do, it's what I don't want to do. See? Because I had people tell me, say, well, if I confess Jesus, then it's just what I can't do. I said, no, man. I said, when you are truly born again, you ain't going to want to do it. It ain't one I can't do because I still could. But now I don't want to. I found a new life. I found a new way. I found a Savior. I found someone I can talk to. I found someone I can share with. One who loved me so much that He died for me. Will you follow Him? You see, only God can paint you into the picture and the plan that He wants for you. Every one of us in this room touch somebody's life every day. Whether it's a friend, family, or perfect stranger. But we have an opportunity with each and every one of them. Have you ever walked into a place and just shouted, and, "Glory to God"? You ever done that? I have. You're going to find out who's a believer. And you're going to find out who isn't. Back when I was contracting many, many years ago, back in the early 90s, I used to do a lot of business with furrows. And I would walk into the contractor's desk at the inside the lumber yard area there, and I would walk in the door, and because I was in there in and out, two or three times a week. They knew who I was. And there was one guy in there. He would ask me every time I would walk in the door, "Hey, Tommy Lowe, how are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing better than I deserve." And then he'd say, "Well, what's up?" And I say, "Well, Jesus is, but you know something? He is coming back. Are you ready? Are you ready?" After a while, he quit asking me that. Because I give him the same answer every time. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready now? Now, there were other guys in the room. They didn't want to have nothing to do with me, okay? But this one guy, those words, somewhere in there, I don't know if it was me or somebody else, but something softened this man's heart. And after two or three months of that, he began to ask me about that. And then one week when I came in, he told me that he had gone to church. He had met with the Lord and gotten saved. Man, I had me a shouting hallelujah all around their office. That was just awesome. But you see, if I had not said something about God, if I had not presented God, that soul may be lost today. I'm going to tell you, you got to listen to Him, people. So what if they don't like you? A lot of people didn't like Jesus. They tried to kill Him. I ain't had nobody try to kill me yet, although I've faced a few shotguns. But anyway, that's another story. They didn't even kill me then. Can I tell you that God's got that plan for you, and if you'll stay in that plan and keep going after Him, He will lead you and guide you and direct you. He'll be right there for you. You see, you don't have to have a want or a care for your own life. When you're seeking Him, nothing matters. Not even your own life matters. When you're truly going after Him, if you're doing His work, nothing matters. The power of His resurrection. Can I tell you that when you have been truly resurrected and that born again experience is firmly implanted in your life and in your heart, you're not going to worry about nothing. Because He said He'd supply all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How much better can that get? How much better? I mean, what do you need more than what you got on your body right now and a nice automobile to drive and a place to stay out of the rain and the sun? After a while, it just gets to be more stuff, doesn't it? Ain't none of that going to heaven with you. What was that, Pastor Glenn, you say? It's going to fly, burn off going down or fly off going up? I like that. Does that get the point across? Nothing in this world really matters in the end. You see, in the end, the only thing that matters is eternity and where you're going to spend it. That's the only thing that matters. Where are you going to spend it? I don't know about y'all, but I like the air conditioning pretty good. What was that sign we saw the other day? It said, if you'll follow Jesus, you'll beat the heat. I love church signs. I love them. If you'll follow Jesus, you'll beat the heat. I thought, man, I got to use that somewhere. See, I practiced on y'all. Y'all probably won't be the last ones. Following him. You see, everything becomes brand new to you. That's what the scripture says. It should become brand. Your life, everything becomes an open book in front of you. Have you had that experience? Have you gone after him? Have you sought his presence? Until you just kind of just reach out there and touch him. I tell you, when it comes to that point, nothing else will matter. When it comes to that point where his presence totally consumes you, nothing else is going to matter. If you have not reached that point, I want you to think about it. Because you see, he wants us to live in the Spirit with him. And the only way you can do that is follow him. To have that resurrection experience, you have to follow him. Do you want to know him like Paul did? That I may know him. The power of his resurrection, that newness of life, that newness of spirit, that newness that makes you run when you don't feel like it. It makes you stay up and read and pray when you know you're tired. You see, that resurrection power will make you deny yourself. In fact, that's what he told us to do. Deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. That's what he told us to do. You see, you've already heard me preach on the details that he left behind. If we will follow the details of the plan, then we will reach the end of the plan with his hand, in his hand, holding his hand. With his very presence, in his presence. You see, you can experience some of that while you're walking around in his flesh. But it'd be just like Moses. He told Moses, said, can't look at my face, Moses. Because my presence, you will die. But I'll let you see my hinder parts when I walk back. I'm going to put you over here in the cleft of the rock. Let that presence come upon you. There's an old song, not an old song, it's a newer song. It says, that I may feel your breath upon my face, that I may know your warm embrace. If that don't change your life, I don't know what will. When that happens to you in a time of prayer, don't run. When you're truly seeking his face to the point where you get lost in the spirit, don't look at me like I've got a new extra hole in my head, okay? When you get lost in the spirit, just read your Bible. It's in there. Oh, Paul, Peter, yeah, they all got lost in the spirit. You could do it too if you will. You can get lost in that time when time means nothing to you. I told y'all before about prayer. You know, Jesus said in the garden, said, could you not pray with me 1 hour? What's the matter with you guys? Sleep got a hold of you so good that you can't pray with me 1 hour? I'm going to tell you what, when you get lost in His presence, an hour will be nothing. You ought to read about some of the revivals of old and revivalists of old and the great preachers of old when they were preaching to the masses. I'm talking not 100, not 1,000, but 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, and they were all in a field. And they stood upon a rock and preached to the people. And the people fell out in the presence of God right there on the grounds. They groaned in the spirit because the presence of God had come up. And they saw their lostness and their undoneness of their soul. And when they got up off the ground, they started following Jesus. And great revivals broke out because of that. There's one revivalist by the name of Evan Roberts. There's another guy with two front names. Evan Roberts. When he would preach, the whole country of Wales came under conviction. You read about the Welsh revival. The bars were empty. The houses of ill repute were empty. Businesses had no one coming to them. The coal miners quit their cursings. In fact, they had to retrain the animals that pulled the carts that had the coal because they no longer understood them anymore because they weren't being cursed at. You read about the Welsh revival. You'll see a time when the presence of God came down so strong that people started to know Him for who He was in spirit and in truth. Believe me, it can happen to you. And when it does, not if it does, when it does, you ain't never going to be the same again. You won't have to get somebody to light your fire because you're going to come with the fire. You don't have to get anybody to tell you about His presence and try to get you to see because you will have experienced it. You will know Him. There's a lot of people who just know about Him. They know about Him. You know, I'll get to the message here in a minute. We're almost out of time, ain't we? Let me just continue on. You see, when we truly know Him and we know the power of His resurrection, we no longer follow the world and its pleasures. The things of pleasure to a born-again, blood-bought, on fire, child of the King, is serving Him. That's the most pleasurable thing that there is. It says rejoice even in your suffering. Rejoice. For you know who your King is. You know who your Savior is. You know who your Redeemer is. Nothing can bother you. Nothing can take you aside. Nothing can stop you. You see, death does not stop a believer. He just goes on into eternity and continues to live. Death cannot stop us. I told you there's four things that are always after you. Sin's always after you. But you see, you've been set free from that. Death is always after you, too. You ever had some near misses lately? Death is always after you. But I'm going to tell you what, for a believer, death cannot kill you. You understand that? Death cannot kill a believer. Because a believer just goes from here to there. Hell cannot have you. Jesus already took the keys. Hell can't have you. And the grave, let me tell you something about the grave. The grave ain't going to be able to hold you. Follow Jesus. Have that resurrection experience. We follow Jesus in whatever way he wants us to do. A resurrection experience will also bring rivers of living water. You ever seen anybody real thirsty? Y'all ever been real thirsty where you just didn't have any water? I know some of y'all in here like that. My children have to remind me to get something to drink now. I don't know. I just forget to drink, you know. I'll be over there thirsty and they'll be saying, "Hey, Dad, you need to drink some water. Here. But our hunger and thirsting after Jesus Christ should not ever stop. It should never stop. That is the one thing that will keep you moving forward, is that hungering and thirsting for him. You get to where you want him more than life and more than breath. Because I'll tell you what, when you come to that point, nothing else is going to matter. And anything that happens around you will not affect you. The one thing that will affect you is when that one that you're speaking with says yes to Jesus. You see, and when that happens, you can join a great big party. I told y'all before, an old preacher friend of mine used to say that God was a party animal. You read about that in the Old Testament. He was always asking his kids to have a party, to have a celebration, to do something to celebrate. Take a week off and let's eat and drink and worship God. Think about it. A great big party. Well, it says that all the angels in heaven rejoice over one soul. None of us like to have parties, though, do we? No. That's God's idea of a real party. Rejoicing over one soul. That's his idea. Let me give you one more scripture. Out of Acts 19. Acts 19. There was an incident that happened a few days ago about 2,000 years. It happened at the tabernacle, happened at the synagogue. You know, Paul was messing up everybody's theology. The rigid religious, you know, them that break over everything, not pliable over anything. And definitely not over the good news. In fact, I thought he had a devil. Let me just start at verse 6. And when Paul had laid hands on them, Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke with other tongues and prophesied. Now, we're talking to a group of people that were believers before Paul ever got there in Corinth. Or at Ephesus, rather. And so he asked them, had you believed? And they said, yeah, we believed. But who did you believe on? Well, we heard John. Baptism of repentance. And when they had heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and then he laid hands on them. Because they never heard anything about the Holy Ghost. Verse 8, he said he went to the synagogue, spoke boldly for 3 months. That 3 months happens just in a few words. You got to realize the time span of this book. Things that we talk about in a few words took a long time. God don't do things most of the time just suddenly. It's a period of time. It gets you used to it. Gets you to where you see it. Gets you to where you understand it. And then all of a sudden, the light comes on, just like it did for Saul when that light shone from heaven, threw him to the ground. And so it says, and now when he went to synagogue, for about 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. And when some were hardened and did not believe, they spoke evil of the way. Remember we talked about the way last Sunday? We talked about the way, the only way, the way of Jesus. Let us not be in the way. Let us be of the way. A lot of folks are in the way. They think serving God is giving him advice. They become holy advisors. That's another story. So they had hardened before the multitude. He departed from them, withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years. You think Paul was committed to following Jesus to get somebody to understand? He was committed. That's a level of commitment. That's the same level of commitment as marriage. It is a commitment. So he continued for 2 years so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word. Has all of Oakhurst heard the word? Has all of Point Blank heard the word? All of Dodge, you know, Cold Spring, you know, Willow Spring, you know, Darby Hill, you know? How about it, folks? Can we not follow in the footsteps of Jesus? Here's a disciple following in his steps. He went everywhere preaching the word of God. He went everywhere talking about Jesus. He suffered a little bit for it. Continued for 2 years so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, both Jews and Greeks. He preached to all of them. Anybody would stand still and listen, and some of them he probably followed down to tell them. And God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. You remember some of them details and what Jesus left us? Casting out demons, speaking in other tongues. I don't know about handling them snakes now. Yeah. I'll let y'all handle the snakes. I'll go after the vipers. Yeah, they're two-legged ones walking around. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, I had to think about that word, took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Oh my goodness. They're plagiarizing Jesus. You see, they don't really know Jesus. Can I tell you that there is a price to pay for trying to use Jesus for your own gain when you don't know him? Even if you do know him and you try to use him for your own gain, you're in danger. But this is worse. This is terrible. There were also seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. I like this part. They're trying to cast this demon out when they don't even know Jesus, and they're using a name that they don't even know the power thereof. And the evil spirit said to them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who in the world are you?" I don't know about y'all, but I want to be known by the devil. I want to be known by hell. I want to be known by the darkness. Because when I walk into the room, I want the darkness to run. I want to know Jesus Christ so completely that nothing else matters. Nothing. Who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. That's not the first act of streaking in the Bible. That did happen back in the garden. Yeah. But that's just one more. Naked and wounded. Can I tell you? You need to know Jesus. And the more you know him, the more you're going to love him. And there ain't no evil spirit going to say to you, but who are you? We're going to play a little song. It's going to take about 4 minutes. I want to invite you. Go ahead, brother. I want to invite you to come. This little song is about seeking Jesus. I want you to come, church. Let me tell you, you cannot have enough prayer. You cannot have enough time in the Word. There's no time limit. There's no time limit on this service other than how hungry that you might be. And if your hunger for Jesus overpowers that hunger for food, time will have no effect. The more I seek you, Lord, the more I want you. Are you that way? The more I seek you, Lord, the more I have to have you. I have to have you every moment just to be able to breathe. Besides that, he's the one that breathed the breath of life into you. It's his breath. It goes back to him. Will you come today? Will you come and come to these altars? I told you before, the safest place you can be is in the altars of God. The safest place you can be is in his presence. Seek him with all your heart. Don't let the opportunity get away from you. Don't let it get away from you, people.